We are going to speak with Andrew Morehouse. He is my guest tonight, and he is the executive director of the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts. How are you doing, Andrew? Welcome.
I am doing great, and I'm so happy to be here. It's a pleasure to sit back and hang out with you here in the studio, and I'm just marveling at what you do. As you were mentioning a little while ago, you've been doing this for 15 years.
Jeez, let us not talk about time.
But I don't believe your listeners know how skilled you are. I'm looking at you from the other side of this window, and you look like the Wizard of Oz doing your magic on the other side there.
Thank you. Let me tell you that it is fun. Sometimes it gets a little hectic, but it is fun overall. And it's great to have you here with us once again. You are a veteran of this program. You have been our guest many times, and it's always great to have you because you always have great information. And tell us a little bit about, for the people that might have not listened or heard of you before and your organization, tell us a little bit about the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts.
Sure, I'd be delighted to, because a lot of people, believe it or not, don't know about us, and they don't know that hunger is a reality that a lot of people face here in Western Massachusetts, struggling to make ends meet, paying bills, you know, co-pays for medicine, utilities, you name it, keeping a roof over your head and putting food on the table at the same time. And that's really challenging for a lot of people. In fact, over the course of a year, we're providing food to well over 200,000 people across the four counties of Western Massachusetts, the three counties of the Pioneer Valley, Hampden, Hampshire, Franklin County, and also all of Berkshire County.
200,000 people, and that's only on the Western Mass part of Massachusetts.
That's correct.
Unreal. And I know that you provide food all through the year, but now with winter coming, is it more difficult for you, for your organization, to get food to provide it for the people that need it?
That's a great question. You know, over the course of a year, we're providing upwards to 12 million pounds of food, or the equivalent of 10 million meals, to individuals who are facing hunger, the most vulnerable people in our communities, elders, children, people with disabilities, veterans. But I like to remind people, even working families who are trying to make a go at it on a minimum wage income, really are just barely getting by. And so when they're forced between making a decision of whether to pay their rent or their co-pays, or, you know, send their kids to childcare, or fix their car, oftentimes food is the last thing that they're thinking about, because they know that when push comes to shove, they can go to a local food pantry to get a bag of groceries, or to a meal site to get a hot meal to make it through the end of the week till their next paycheck. And most of the food that all of the pantries and meal sites receive comes from the food bank, a large warehouse that we have in Hatfield, Massachusetts, just north of Northampton, where we receive large quantities of food from the federal government, the state government, the food industry, the likes of Stop and Shop and Big Y and so many other retailers, and even our local farmers. So to your question, we receive, you know, over 500,000 pounds of fresh vegetables every year from local farms, local farmers, including our own food bank farm, and we make that available. And actually right now is when we receive the majority of that food, in the form of those hearty late fall crops like butternut squash and sweet potatoes and potatoes and acorn squash that will last for months and months and months. So we're really grateful to the 24 or so local farmers that donate that food to us specifically during this year, but in fact, this time of year, but specifically over the course of the summer.
Mm-hmm. So that is very well for this time of the year for this season, but during the hard winter months, you know, January, February, March,
yes,
do you provide mostly canned food, frozen food?
That's a great question. I think the stereotype of food banks, and we are one food bank out of 200 across the country, and our role is to serve this area, is that what we distribute is canned goods and dry goods and, you know, rice and beans and things of that sort, and that's true. Over half of the food that we distribute is perishable food, fresh produce predominantly, also frozen meats that we get from Big Y and Stop and Shop that they freeze at the sell-by date instead of throwing it out, and dairy products. That is one of the prominent roles in the history behind food banks, is to rescue food from the food industry that would otherwise go to waste. But to your question, over the winter months, surprisingly, we receive a vast amount of fresh produce from large farms up in Quebec, Canada, believe it or not, that are harvested and purchased by a wholesaler who stores them in cold storage and provides them to our food bank and food banks across New England over the winter months, so that we're able to distribute fresh vegetables that are what we call shelf stable: potatoes, apples, carrots, beets, onions, apples, things of that sort that will last for months and months and months. And so for that reason, we're able to distribute over 1 million pounds of those hearty vegetables over the winter months, so that folks don't go hungry and they have access to nutritious food, specifically in neighborhoods that would be considered food deserts, where you can't find fresh, nutritious food. And what you can find is food that's rich in carbohydrates and sugars and fats, and it's very cheap, but it's not healthy and it's not good for you.
That is good. I have two questions to follow that up. One of them is just about what you're talking right now on the food that is not good for kids. Is that part of what you have to also distribute to give away? And the other question is, I know you, did you say that the food, the fresh produce comes from Canada, from Quebec?
Yeah, during the winter months.
How is that possible? Because I would think, wow, it's even colder there than in here.
Yes.
So what is it? They have like huge greenhouses that we don't hear? How does that work?
Yeah, it seems very counterintuitive.
Yeah.
But what one needs to remember is that while Western Massachusetts is the breadbasket of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, most of the farms that grow vegetables in Massachusetts are here in Western Mass, and fortunately they grow vegetables for human consumption as opposed to in the Midwest, where most food that's grown is for cattle, soybeans and corn. So we are able to harvest a lot of vegetables for human consumption, and our role is to make that food available for people who otherwise couldn't afford it. But over the winter months, that harvest has already been distributed, whereas in Canada, they have really large farms. I mean, thousands and thousands of acres, much larger than here in Western Massachusetts. And so those large-scale farms are able to really grow and harvest a surplus of food that over the course of decades they've been providing to supermarkets. But that which they can't sell to supermarkets because it doesn't quite meet their very strict specifications, they've found another market for it. And those are the food banks in New England. So we buy those hearty vegetables that will last for months and months and months, because once it's harvested, they store it in cold storage so that under proper conditions, it will last for months and months and months. So we purchase that food at discounted prices and then are able to distribute it for free on our trucks, which we call a mobile food banks. We have 26 sites across Western Massachusetts where we distribute that food once or twice a month at a local community center, a parking lot, essentially, 12 months out of the year, right through the winter months in the cold. But we're able to make that food available to individuals who know that they can go there and rely on healthy food that we distribute so that they can make it through the end of the week or the month and not have to worry about feeding their kids or their grandparents or whomever.
Mm-hmm. And the other one was, the other question is, do you have any guidelines regarding nutritional value, especially in food that goes for children?
Absolutely. All the food that we distribute, about 80% of it is very healthy food. You know, yes, of course, we'll receive from the food industry foods that, you know, candy upon occasion and other food items, but the vast majority of the food that we do receive and distribute is very, very healthy food. In fact, we have two nutritionists on staff who are out on the streets every day of the week providing recipes and taste tests and encouraging folks to eat and prepare healthy foods with recipes. We even take residents to supermarkets on tours and help them learn how to read the nutritional labels and how to stretch their dollars so that they can maximize the amount of healthy food that they buy by, you know, purchasing dry beans as opposed to canned beans and, you know, stretching their dollars and making healthy food available, because honestly, we know that there are many ways to address this scourge of hunger in our society, and clearly education is one, providing access to healthy food is another, and then of course we have to address those other underlying causes that we're committed to, because we know that we'll never end hunger until we address some of those other underlying causes, like access to a job that can pay a wage to support your family, affordable housing, affordable transportation, the list goes on and on.
Exactly. You are so right. It's hard to believe sometimes that in the United States, the richest country in the whole world, we have millions of people that are hungry, or children that go to bed hungry. And somehow, somewhere, our priorities are not in the right place. And that goes hand in hand with the 1% of the population owning the majority of the richness, not only United States, worldwide. And that's another conversation.
It sure is. Yeah, it's at one level, it's very simple. The hunger exists, and if we just ensured that everybody had access to food, we'd be able to solve hunger. But we know that would only solve it at the moment. We do have a whole set of complex challenges to face as a society, and we're committed to do our part. We know it's not something we'll achieve overnight, but we also live in a really dynamic community here in Western Massachusetts where people care, and we have dozens and dozens of partners and organizations who are committed to working with us on so many issues as we are with them, to try to get at those underlying causes and to make this a better world. So I'm actually quite heartened despite all the adversity that's out there in the world, that ultimately humanity is good, and, you know, as they say, we will overcome.
That's a very good attitude.
Yeah.
And you know what, Andrew, also I like the fact that there is another good consequence of this. It's that by giving the food that might be just about to expire to be the perfect condition of the item, by you being able to use it, you are helping also with the fact that there are worldwide millions of tons of food that is thrown
wasted.
Yes, and what a great way to use this food, because if you can explain briefly the difference between expiration date or used by these dates. People sometimes get confused and they see those labels there and they just don't even touch it.
That's so true. Yes, there are many, many dates. The one clearly is the sell-by date. And then, of course, there is an expiration date. But all those are suggested dates. They don't necessarily define when a food is no longer edible for human consumption. We all know that if we buy food close to the sell-by date and we put it in our refrigerator, it's still quite healthy for weeks on end. Our job is to receive that food close to the sell-by date. Oftentimes, it's months before the sell-by date, and we're able to store it and distribute it, particularly if it's a dry good or a canned good, which can be very healthy. And we make that available to people in need. Food rescue is at the heart of what food banks do, and our food bank distributes that food to over 171 local feeding programs across the four counties and communities that we all live in. And in every one of the communities that our listeners live in, there are people who face hunger, and they're not the individuals you may know. On the other hand, you probably do, and without even knowing it, that they're struggling. It's a reality that kind of exists, but below the surface. And our role is to try to really raise awareness that this is a very real challenge that we face as a society, and we're going to do everything we can to reverse that, if not erase the stigmas especially associated with hunger. Far too many people think that if you're going hungry, it's something that you've done wrong, as opposed to not having been dealt a fair deck of the cards. We know that we live in a society where it's far from a level playing field for everyone, and our job is to try to create a more level playing field so everybody has the same opportunities. But to do that, we need to support our mission, and we'll get a chance to talk about that.
Oh, sure. My guest is Andrew Morehouse, Executive Director of the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts, and we're talking about the role of this agency within the society, especially here in Western Massachusetts. Now, you had mentioned at one point that you get the food from donations, could be from stores, where the federal government, the state. And so I am wondering, all these items, the food comes for free to you. But I wonder, do you have also like huge expenses for your warehouse, for your trucking, all the infrastructure that you need to keep that food? How does that work?
Absolutely. That's a good point. Yes, and we have an operating budget of well over $4 million that we need to raise every year to be able to support our capacity to receive very large quantities of food, in tractor trailer loads every week, and then be able to break that down into smaller quantities so that local feeding programs in communities are able to receive it and distribute it to our neighbors in need. So it's an intricate and very elaborate network of local feeding programs that are partnering with the food bank. And so, yes, we receive very large quantities of food. Much of it is paid for by the federal or the state government, about half. The other half of our inventory over the course of the year is donated food. So in order to have the capacity to be able to receive those large quantities of food, we have operating costs to support that infrastructure. So we have a warehouse that's over 30,000 square feet. We have to keep the lights on, our freezers and refrigerators operating to be able to store the food. We have 45 staff, both in the warehouse and programmatic staff out there, like our nutritionist that I mentioned before. And in fact, we have four full-time coordinators who assist people to enroll in the federal SNAP program, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, formerly food stamps. So all these staff doing the good work that they do need to be paid. And so that operating budget is supported by donations primarily from individuals and businesses right here in the Pioneer Valley, well over $2 million that we raise every year to support our budget comes from individuals and local businesses who sponsor the work that we do. And that's how we're able to turn a dollar that's donated to us into the equivalent of three meals that we're able to distribute. It's that capacity, that infrastructure that the community invests in us to be able to receive those large quantities of food.
For each dollar that you receive in a donation, you provide three meals?
That's correct. That's correct.
So do you do fundraisers? How do you get your
money? We do fundraisers all the time because we really don't rely a lot on federal and state funding for operating support. We get tremendous amounts of food that is paid for by the federal and state government, but in terms of keeping the lights on and our staff, we really only receive about 10% of our operating budget from federal and state governments. Mm-hmm. So we have to do fundraisers and reach out to the community. And that's why I'm really grateful that you invited me tonight, as always, so we can get our word out. And so we're hosting a large event, as we do every year, on November 25th and 26th. It's called Monty's March. And it's a march from Springfield to Greenfield over 2 days, 43 miles, and Congressman Jim McGovern marches the whole way with us. And it's an effort to raise awareness about this very issue of hunger in Western Massachusetts and to raise support for the food bank. So all the information you need to know is on our website, foodbankwma.org. And hopefully your listeners will check it out and consider supporting our cause.
Very good. So when did you say is that March?
It's coming up on November 25th and 26th. That's the Monday and Tuesday of Thanksgiving week. So in about 2 weeks from now.
Oh, uh-huh.
So we've been doing this march for 10 years. Monty is the leader of our of this march, and our goal this year is to raise the equivalent of 1 million meals. So our slogan this year is a march for 1 million meals. And in order to do that, given that calculation I gave before, mm-hmm. we would need to raise $333,000 in order to be able to provide 1 million meals. Last year, we raised close to $300,000. So we just need to do that again, plus another $33,000, and we'll meet that million meal goal of ours. And we're confident that in Western Massachusetts, we'll be able to do that because we know the community cares about their neighbors in need.
And the march starts in Springfield or
It
in
starts
Greenfield?
In Springfield at the Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center in Mason Square at 7 a.m. we'll be there bright and early.
Bright and early,
yep.
Yeah.
And we'll march till about 2 in the afternoon, 1 or 2. We'll arrive in Northampton. We'll take a break. Probably I'll go back to work up at the food bank, catch up on the emails and all that kind of stuff.
What route do you follow?
We cross Springfield into Chicopee.
Yeah.
And then we hook up with 116.
Uh-huh.
We cut through Willimantic. We go over the bridge into Holyoke. Up, I believe that's Cabot Street or Appleton. We get up to Route 5, and then we take Route 5 all the way up to Northampton. And then, as I said, we'll take a break, and then on Tuesday the 26th, we'll start up again at 6 a.m. in front of Congressman McGovern's office in downtown Northampton, cross over to Amherst, and then up through Sunderland, over the Sunderland Bridge to Route 5, and then take Route 5 all the way up to Greenfield. We'll be there at 6 o'clock, and people are more than welcome to join us for the march. And again, all the information is on our website, foodbankwma.org.
Very good. So it's done in two days then, because I was thinking, oh, my God, to do all in one day, one walk, that would take a long time.
It's 43 miles, yes.
So people can do one half and then not the other one?
Sure, people okay. can join okay. us and greet us okay. and not march at all. They can walk a little bit. They can donate online, call in.
Oh, good.
And all of this, the whole march will be live on the air.
Okay, so you don't have to march just to give the money. You
That's
can just
correct.
Go online and donate it if you don't want to march.
That's okay. right. Well, we have all kinds of crazy stories of crazy people.
I can't imagine that.
I'll have to, there's one individual who every year, he's a hardworking guy. He comes out of work, I can tell, with his, he's a contractor of some sort, and he walks up to us very nonchalantly every year and hands us a roll of bills and walks off into the sunset, and they're all $100 bills, about $1,000. But we get, we have school groups who come and give us their change and yeah. tell us stories. We have faith folks. We have business people. All kinds. It takes a community, right?
That is great. That is great. Thank you so very much, Andrew, for such great information, and wish you the best.
Thank you so much, Raquel.
Thank you. And until next time.
Of course.
Very good. My guest tonight was Andrew Morehouse, Executive Director of the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts.